the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer.
Amen.
The sermon for today, the second Sunday after Christmas, Thy Years Shall Not Fail, was written by the Most Reverend John T. Cahoon, Jr., late Metropolitan of the Anglican Catholic Church. Today's Gospel starts where last week's Gospel for the Feast of the Holy Innocents ended. We left Joseph and Mary and their newborn son in Egypt. God told them to go there to escape the wrath of King Herod. Herod was so upset at the news that a new king had been born in Israel that he ordered the murder of every boy 2 years old or younger in Bethlehem and the surrounding territory. God sent messages to Joseph in his dreams. As today's gospel opens, Joseph gets word that Herod is dead, and it is safe now to go back to Israel. St. Matthew spares us the report that Herod died of syphilis, and that he had had his eldest son and primary heir murdered just 5 days before he died himself. Nice fellow. The son who emerged the winner in the turmoil surrounding Herod's death was named Archelaus. Herod's will divided his realm three ways. As the oldest surviving son, Archelaus got the most attractive part, the kingdom of Judea, where Jerusalem was. Archelaus distinguished himself early in his reign by the massacre of 3,000 pilgrims who had come to the temple for Passover, keeping up the family tradition. So it is not surprising that when Joseph found out that Archelaus was ruling Judea, he did not want to take his family there. He wound up in the town from which his wife had come, Nazareth, far north of Jerusalem, in the area near the Sea of Galilee. St. Matthew says that the Holy Family settled in Nazareth so Jesus could be called a Nazarene. Nazarene seems to be some sort of play on either the word for root, as in Jesus is the root of Jesse's stem, or the word for watchman. The point today is the same as the point last week. Jesus is born into real human history. His life on earth was not once upon a time, or long ago in a galaxy far away. We say in the creed that he was crucified under Pontius Pilate, not to give that foreign service bureaucrat special attention, but to fix the life and death of Jesus at a moment in time that we know about from outside the Bible. During the time between Jesus' birth and his return to heaven, God was on earth in a very specific way. St. John says of his friend Jesus, the God-made man, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled. Jesus assured the disciples that the descent of the Holy Ghost would guarantee that they would not lose his presence or his power after he had gone back. We continue to hear his voice in the Bible. We continue to see him and look upon him in our fellow members of the church, his body. Our hands are still able to handle him in the sacraments. Those are the ways Jesus continues to be present in human history. I don't mean history in the limited sense of what we can read about in history books. I mean history in the sense in which we all have histories. Things happen, and the pattern of our lives unfolds through what happens. The prayer book defines the sacrament as an outward and visible sign of an inward and spiritual grace. So sacraments have two aspects, the outward and the inward. the material and the spiritual, what you see and what you get. That idea about the sacraments comes directly from the message of Christmas, that Jesus is God who has become man. Jesus is himself the biggest sacrament of all. The outward and visible sign is his humanity, his nature and his body, and the inward and spiritual grace is God. I quoted his pithiest saying on this point on Christmas Eve, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." Simple. Self-righteous people often like to deplore Christmas for being too material. It may make some sense to complain about advertising, manipulation, and commercialism and greed. But the fact is that the Christian message of Christmas is material. The birth of Jesus is where the spiritual and the material family come together. The Word of God becomes flesh. The spiritual and the material are no longer in competition. We can no longer assume that the spiritual is better than the material, or that the material is better than the spiritual. In Jesus, the two become one. We knew already that the material creation was good, because God made it, and he said it was good. Now we know even more how good it is, because God has become part of it, and he is going to stay part of it until he brings everything together in himself at the end. The Epistle to the Hebrews puts it this way, "Thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens and the works of thy hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest, and they all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail." And now unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost be ascribed as his most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.